Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and tonight I am proud to bring you Herculean Physique with Michael Del Russi. But first, a song. We're going to listen to Golden Bough by Ginger Ackley.
Come on.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake, dream till you feel, dream till you know it, dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.
Greetings and welcome back to Herculean Physique. Today, I am honored to be speaking with Michael DelRussi. I hope you enjoyed the music. We had a technical difficulty, but it's been resolved. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you, sir?
Good evening. My apologies. We have a little bit of a partial blackout here. The lights are dim, but I can see, so everything is good.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you're okay and that everything is well. We've been suffering all sorts of weird power things here as well. We had like a internet outage for a few days. I think that affected one of your shows. My printer stopped working and other parts of my computer stopped working. So finally we got that straightened out, but it took a good week and a half.
Yeah, we know we depend on these things these days, and once they let us down, it can be our confidence begins to wane as far as their operation is concerned. But I know where I used to live in West Orange, too. We were constantly having blackouts, and it was the same part of the town every time. So, you know, one transformer wasn't working properly, and they could never get it right, so... Yeah, it does happen.
that it does. You listed a lot of really interesting topics tonight, and I'd like to start with the UFOs, if that's okay, because I'm doing a lot of new things with UFOs, and I'd like to invite you to be involved if you'd like.
Well, yes. I don't know if you heard about it. It's all over the airwaves the last couple of days. This sighting in Las Vegas, where evidently something came down in a family's backyard. It was caught on camera by a policeman. He was wearing his, the camera that he had on his vest, and it was a green light. You see it coming down. And the next thing you know, not too long after that, the police department gets a call from a family who said that there are something hidden down in the backyard, and there are, for wanting of a better description, 8-foot-tall aliens are in their backyard. And they're looking at them, and they're staring at them, and this was no joke. And the policemen came by, they investigated the case, and they didn't see any aliens, but there was a landing close encounter of the second kind, I believe, was left. There was a marks of a landing here in the backyard, a big round circle. And people on the highway also spotted the object before it landed. Also, they had a doorbell camera, which not only caught the thing coming down, but you heard the crash and a loud boom when the thing eventually did land. I think this happened May 1st. I believe that's the date. As of now, there's still no logical explanation for this thing. It seems to be authentic. It seems to be an actual sighting, an actual visitation. And it's quite remarkable.
Have any news on a description of the large aliens that landed?
Yes. The young man who made the original call, he said, they seemed to him they could have been between 8 and 10 feet tall, large eyes, large lips, very thin in body structure, and they were just there, just staring at them, you know, and that was the basic description. They were, I think, a pale gray, as I recall, his phone call to the police, and that was the description. And the whole family was gathered outside with the policeman. And as of this date, the only thing I can say basically is that I just checked on the case before the program started, as a matter of fact. It seems very authentic, very real. And there was, again, there was trace evidence. And the policeman did catch it on his body cam. In fact, he was joking with them. He was joking with the family. He said, you guys definitely saw something. He said, but if they come back to visit you, he said, don't call us. He was joking. But they definitely caught something in terms of the craft itself and the landing. The policemen saw that much. Obviously, they didn't see the aliens. But something extraordinary evidently happened here.
And, Do they have the vehicle, the vessel? Were they able to retrieve that if it crashed?
No.
Okay.
It took off. It left. But the funny thing is, when it originally, I'm saying that it landed, but it sounded like the crash. You know, there was a recording of it, and it sounded like the thing actually crashed. But evidently it wasn't a crash because whatever it was, left the scene. So, but it did leave trace evidence. There's one big round circle in the back, behind the building. And the fact that when the police body cam caught this thing coming down, you can see it. It was a big green glowing light, greenish in color. Evidently, something happened here. There's probably questions that still need to be answered. But the one thing for sure, there was a flying object, unidentified flying object, and it was spotted by all of the witnesses involved, including the police. So this is quite remarkable. And as of this morning, I mean, the mainstream media is still on fire over this thing. So I'm sure there's going to be more as time goes on. Quite remarkable.
I hope so. That's pretty dramatic what you're describing. I'd heard about it, but I haven't had a chance to really look into it. So now I have a mission after we finish tonight's conversation.
Well, I'll be excited when you do it. I'll be excited to hear your take on the evidence as it presents itself to you. There's no question that if we start with the object itself, there's no question that there was an airborne object involved here. That's for sure. And there's no question as well that it was of unknown origin. You can see it as the policemen were standing in the street. They were talking to some people. You can see it. It was caught right on their body cam coming down. Bright green object. So that's what we know so far. There was no physical evidence of the 8-foot aliens, but we'll see what happens. But it's an extraordinary case. It looks authentic. The witness looks very sincere, like he's telling the truth. So we'll see what happens. But I think we're living in an extraordinary time. I think some revelations are finally going to take root here. It's long overdue. But there's been a flood of UFO sightings over the last 3 months. I was doing some research last night. I mean, just a wave all over, throughout the entire nation practically. Something's happening, and we'll be privy as to what that is somewhere down the road.
I'm going to be focusing more exclusively on UFOs. I am working on getting back on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, which is like Manhattan public access cable. And mm-hmm. I filmed 3 shows already. And mm-hmm. I plan on filming 12 and then working on an intermediate thing while I work on season 2, which will be a bit more ambitious. We're starting with the people who interact with aliens or celestials or extraterrestrials on a continuing basis. And these are the people who bring us cosmic philosophies and cosmic spiritualities. So that's been a long time study of mine, and I'm actually in contact with several groups, fairly regularly. Unarius, I've had the longest relationship with, over 30 years. And so we've had long conversations. They finally put them on their website so you can access them, whenever point you're coming into. But I treasure those conversations, and they're very thought-provoking. Whether you believe it or don't believe it, it's up to the individual. But there's a remarkable consistency in the information that you get from these extraterrestrial sources. The practice is actually very old. A lot of people think it just started with the contactee movement, and it was mm-hmm. revived with the contactee movement, but actually talking to people from other planets goes back to antiquity.
Yes, absolutely. I was listening to the Urantia. I know you have a program. Is Unarius, are they two separate groups?
Yes, it's two separate groups. Unarius is, I don't know if you remember Ruth Norman. She used to have she used to dress up like a fairy godmother kind of, and she used to drive a car with a UFO on top of it. That's Unarius.
Right, okay.
And
Urantia is a separate thing entirely.
A separate thing. There's a book called the Urantia book, and people who study it are called readers. People who study Unarius are called students. It's very interesting. And as part of the Urantia book, there are 5 revelations, and the Urantia book is the 5th revelation. But we had a splinter group that we developed a relationship with, too, that has the 6th revelation for the Urantia book. So we have 5th and 6th revelation Urantia book, and then we have Unarius, and then we have Ashtar Command, I've been introducing some of the neo-theosophies lately, too, so eventually there'll be a program on that as well. And again, there are similarities, but there are differences in what each of these groups are being told and sharing with us. But I'm also going to be including, like we have now, the UFO entity Enigma, which talks about the UFO entities of different types that people are encountering. I'm going to start a few new shows that are UFO-based. In one of them, we'll have a bunch of investigators like Nick Curto, Diana Montfort, and mm-hmm. some other people. And I was thinking of asking you if you'd like to be an investigator, because you started investigating UFOs as a child with your brother, and you've been following it your whole life. So I was
yes.
wondering if you'd be
yes.
one of the investigators.
And absolutely.
Then another show for people who have different experiences, and you know, mostly they can't really share them with very many people because their family and friends make fun of them and call them nuts and all sorts of things. So we're going to have a show about people sharing the types of experiences they have to see that, mm-hmm. that they're not really alone, that other people have these experiences.
Well, I certainly would be interested in participating. It goes back a long way, right from the middle and late 60s, when there were two major independent civilian groups investigating these things, the NICAP, of course, with Donald Kehoe, who was a former Air Force pilot, I believe. And then we had APRO, which was started by Corral and Jim Lorenzen. And they were very good at selfishly investigating the phenomena. Those two groups were the two major civilian forces, if you will, that wouldn't take no for an answer when it came to thorough investigation as far as the UFO phenomena was concerned. It was an amazing time. We had our own little group. We had about 1,500 people, as a matter of fact, me and my brother, right here on the East Coast.
Wow.
The UIFOB. We published a newsletter, a mimeograph newsletter. As a matter of fact, my brother, God rest his soul, did the artwork each and every month for the covers. And it was just a glorious time. But, yeah, you know, in a way, to be honest with you, with all that we're hearing now, with the Pentagon launching its own investigation, the Air Force has a separate investigation. The Air Force has made an official statement that UFOs do exist, but we don't know what they are. The mainstream press has picked up on that. And they're continuing with that theme, if you will. Yes, they're out there, but we don't know what they are. You know, in a way, we have to laugh, because for those of us who have been old enough to have been researching for, 60 years, or almost 55 years,
mm-hmm.
we've known all along that they are really here, that they are out there. And even after you remove the hoaxes and the fake photographs, and whatever else, even after you remove it, those things from the scene, we knew there was solid evidence that they're here. And, you know, the mainstream press is acting like this is something new. So in some ways, I had to laugh over that, because, my God, it's certainly nothing new. You know?
Right.
They've been here a while.
Yeah, they've been here a while, and... even now we have shows like Ancient Aliens and books based on Chariots of the Gods, and so there's been a lot written about it. The ancients didn't really understand the stars and the heavens the same way we do, so their explanations, although cursorily seem to say the same thing, they actually say something very different about these celestial beings and their relationship to us and so forth. And that's my special area of interest and study. It's very fascinating. The ancients had the answer to what these things were and described them in great detail. But because we see the world differently, we don't buy those answers. So we make our own.
Right, but I agree with you. They've been here a while, and the ancients have known it. They've described their presence in various cave drawings and architecture and what have you. And of course, we can go back to some of the paintings that describe what evidently have taken place in biblical times. Paintings from the 1500s, the 1700s. There's no questions there have been UFOs in biblical artwork.
Right.
There's entire books out there that are depicting it that would frankly send chills up your spine. because the art, you have to ask yourself, well, what did these artists know? Artists from the 1700s and the 1500s, what did they know? What were they told that they would depict, which what is obviously a 20th century interpretations of spacecraft? You know,
right.
What did they know? What they knew something that we didn't know, the general population at that time didn't know. I know there's one painting that I've always been intrigued with. It's on the ceiling of a church, I believe. It's in Yugoslavia, but I would have to go back and research that. And you have Jesus the Christ is on the cross, and on both sides of the cross are little egg-shaped spacecraft. And within these crafts are little men, if you were, and they're holding at their hand on some kind of gear. It's one on the left of the cross, one and then further back in the painting, there's a little man standing on a hill with his dog, and he's pointing up at the sky.
Right.
And have you seen that painting?
Yes, I've seen that painting.
Absolutely extraordinary. I mean, you have to ask yourself, for this artist to be so detailed in terms of just what was seen, again, you have to ask yourself, well, where did the information come from as far
right.
as the way these crafts look? It's extraordinary. And as time goes on, I think this is definitely the year of revelation. I feel that very strongly in my spirit. This is going to be a powerful year of revelation where space people and UFOs are concerned. We're going to see and hear things that we've never seen before or heard before. I really do believe that, based on everything that's happening at the present time.
And from what you're describing, it's already started, all this new information and increased activity. And so it'll be very interesting to see where it takes us. Even though, like you said, for those of us who've been following this for a long time, nothing really was released that was new by the government. But at least they finally admitted that these things are real. We've known about them for a long time. They don't seem to be a threat, and they don't seem to be to belong to anybody that we know about on the planet. And they changed the UFO to another set of initials. But they admitted that there's something going on that we don't know about what causes it, but it is going on, and it's been going on for a very long time. So I guess that's a big step forward, because we didn't have that until this administration.
Absolutely. I mean, it took almost 60 years. Yes, the UFO terminal is still used, but now they're being called UAPs, United Area, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. That's the new term that they're using. But yes, you're absolutely right. It took them 60 years and many denials and harassment. And I know when I had my own sighting, it was back in 1975. It's still very much in my consciousness. It's something that I'll never forget. And I remember it very vividly. It wasn't a light. It was a solid metal craft flying right above. I'm saying flying. It really wasn't flying. It was completely stationary. Above Route 3 here in New Jersey, Route 3 West, and I was in a taxi cab at the time coming back from East Rutherford, New Jersey. I had gone to pick up a crib for my boy, who was born that year, 1975, and I'm in a taxi cab, and I have my head back in the seat, I'm just looking up, and I see a bright white light on the right side of the taxi, if you will, but way down the road. So I'm looking, and I'm saying to myself, gee, what is that light? And then I said, I'm talking to myself. And I said to myself, well, maybe it's a radio tower or something. And then as we're getting closer to the thing, I said to myself, wait a minute, there are no radio towers here. And I talked to the taxi driver. I said, do you see that? And he's looking, he's trying to look and drive at the same time. And he said, yeah, I do see it. He said, bright white light. So as we're getting closer to the thing, now it's right on the side of the highway. And this is what I saw. From what I saw from a distance was now very clear, right on the right side of us. I'd say, I don't think it was more than 500 feet in the air. Actually, probably a bit lower than that. And the lights from the highway, it was shaped like a stingray, you know, like a stingray fish. The metal was black. It was black metal, so black that it tinted blue. You know, like you'll see a person with very black hair and there's almost like a blue tint. And that's what it looked like. On the bottom of the craft were red lights, little red lights in a circle. The white light that I had seen from a distance seemed to be coming from the side of it, the side that was not in my view. And it was shooting out on an angle. And the thing was hanging there, perfectly still, perfectly silent, right above the highway, I'd say 500 feet, maybe a bit more, and it was not moving. So the taxi driver saw it. I saw it. I said, what is it? He said, I don't know what that is. I said, let me tell you something. If we slow down to almost a stop by the exit, that thing is still there, then I know neither one of us are crazy. What we're seeing is very real. Lo and behold, I don't know if you know where Byertown Shopping Center in Clifton is. It's off Allwood Road in Clifton.
That sounds very familiar.
Yes. A famous department store there was a high-end department store by the name of Romance. They're no longer there. They were there. They were known throughout New Jersey. So as we pulled off to the exit, I turn around. It's still there. And in the front of the object was one big white headlight, one big white light, and it's hanging there. I said, now I know. I said, what is that? We don't know. I came back home. My brother was there. He was getting dressed to go out on a date. My wife was there. I told him what happened. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to call the police. And I did. I called the Bloomfield Police Department. They hooked me up with a UFO investigating committee in Colorado. I called them. And the lady was very abrupt with me. She said, who gave you this phone number? She said, you're not supposed to have this phone number. And she hung up on me.
Oh, no.
So the next day, yes, she hung up on me. The next day, I looked through all the newspapers as much as I could, looked through the Star Ledger, didn't see anything. That is the story of my UFO sighting. It was real. It was metallic. It was a ship of some kind. It was not just seeing the light. We saw an object itself, and they hung up on me, and that's my story, 1975. I believe it was either October or November. So I'll never forget it as long as I live. Right now, if somebody asked me, I could sit and I could sketch clearly what I saw. Yeah, that's my sighting. That's my story.
That is very impressive, and I want you to repeat that when we do the new show. I've had a couple of sightings in my life, too. Nothing as detailed as what you experienced. The first UFO sighting that I had that I can remember was in Greece. I was on the Aegean Sea going down toward the Mediterranean, toward Crete, and I was watching stars. And there were, of course, like shooting stars and, you know, things like that. The air there is not as polluted or littered with light as our air is here. So you can see the stars very clearly. And I saw something. I thought it was a shooting star, but then it turned 90 degrees, a sharp 90 degrees.
Wow.
So I knew that wasn't a natural object. And then I've seen other craft in the skies, most recently with Athena. We were driving here in Jersey, in northeastern New Jersey, and she asked me, what are you looking at? Because I was looking up at the sky. You know, she was driving. I pointed to it, and she saw it, and she said, wow, that's very unusual. It was one of those UFOs that have all these protrusions from it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was one of those. I'd never seen one of those before, and I was surprised she could see it. Usually I'm the one that spots these things and can see them, and so forth. So she could see it, and we watched it until we were past where it was, and then we couldn't see it anymore. But I've had blue lights, circular blue lights in the middle of the night, like in the backyard, and all sorts of experiences like that. To bring it full circle to the other topic for tonight, energy and chi, there were a few books written about living UFOs, how not all UFOs,
yes,
but UFOs are like, they look like amoebas and paramecium and things like that, except they're aerial creatures. And
yes.
You know those books that are like 3D, and you got to put your nose to them and like move your eyes, and then you can't see it until you prepare yourself to see it. They're like 3D pictures. It was like that, learning how to use your eyes in a different way. But once you practiced enough, if you looked at the sky, you saw thousands of things zooming around the sky, silver things that glowed.
Really?
They were like lights, but they weren't just white light. They were like silver light also. And it looked like something out of a science fiction movie, you know, with all these things zooming around, continuously. So I suspect that some of them are these aeroforms, I think they were called.
Well, I've heard reports of that. I've read the reports of that. And all possibilities are open. When it comes to phenomena, I'll tell you something. I the people have always brought up there's one website. It's called From Beyond UFO Sightings. I was watching it over the weekend, and it really takes you back to the earliest days of sightings. There's tons of pictures. There's a gentleman, he passed away, by the name of Wendell Stevens. An older gentleman, quite fascinating. He had dozens, he spent his life collecting dozens and dozens of photographs and researching every one. So from Passaic, New Jersey, to Colorado, to practically every state in the Union, this entire, you can get it on YouTube, it's called From Beyond UFO Sightings, this is part one and part two. This gives you a fascinating history. It goes right down the line from George Adamski, some of the earliest pioneers, and he has dozens of superb photographs. Some are very well known in the field, like the Paul Schrant photographs, and many, many others. So I would recommend to anyone to go to that site, because they'll get a great history from the early and middle 60s onward in terms of UFO sightings. I'll be honest, at this point in my life, I'm starting to believe that there's a multidimensional aspect to all of this. I think some of the sightings just cannot be explained. And the way they behave, the way they maneuver, and there's been cases where they just suddenly disappear. Or they're in one spot, and then suddenly you look, and they're in another spot. But it's not as if they flew there. They just appeared in one spot, then reappeared in another spot. I'm starting to believe there's a multidimensional aspect to all of this.
Me too.
But we'll see. Yes. They've learned how to crisscross dimensional fields, if you will. I'm really starting to believe that.
Some people have even theorized that they're from our future or from our past, some of them.
Yes, I've heard that theory. But, you know, that could very well be. That could very well be, because energy doesn't die. So it could very well be that, I don't know that time is really a factor, but I think energy and energy imprints very much exist. Just like I do believe the Akashic Records and the etheric fields exist, because energy does not die. It just lives on. So that's very, very possible.
And anyone who's experienced altered states or work with altered states, you know, eventually you come to the conclusion based on your experiences that linear time, although we use it and it exists for us in this level of consciousness, the linear time, as we understand it, is not a universal constant. because you have enough anomalous experiences that violate linear time. So you know that even though it's important to us where we are with our consciousness in the here and now, that it's not necessarily reality on different rates of vibration or existence.
Absolutely. You know, there's some that's theorized. I was listening to an astrophysicist a few weeks ago. Your description, I think, is the more accurate one when it comes to these mysteries, because he was saying, and I kind of go along with this, what is time really? You know, there's been so much speculation. Does time even exist? Is time a man-made, just a man-made concept to assist driving change as we know it? I mean, or is it, as we are talking about, is it just different energy fields that are holding on to events of the past, if you will?
Right.
So there's a theory. I kind of go along with this. Is time even real? Is there even such a thing as time? Or is it a man-made vehicle to help us arrive at some sort of understanding in terms of our lives? It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is very fascinating. We've had a couple of shows recently where we talked about this. I remember certain parts of my childhood where I had inexplicable encounters for the age that I was. And then later on, I learned different psychological and psychic techniques, and I was using them to explore my inner self. And I found that I was talking to older versions of myself.
Wow.
When I was a kid. Because I got to experience it like in 3D sense around. It was like I was talking to older versions of myself. So, again, that
violates
time. Because I remember these things before they happened in this way. But then when I sought to unlock the mysteries of certain parts of my childhood, like who was I talking to when I was talking to Hercules? Who was I actually talking to? And I was surprised to find I was talking to myself. And the things that I told my younger self made sense, and they were helpful. You know,
that's amazing.
And Shelley Kerr, she's the past life lady, and also Robert Munro talked about similar situations in their books. So I'm not the only person this happened to. So if I'm not the only person this happened to, and it happens to people, if they experiment with past life memories and astral projection and things like that, then obviously there is a state of being where the past is still there and we can touch it or we can influence it or, you know, whatever.
Well, that's fascinating that you should describe it that way. That would mean to me that we ourselves are multidimensional beings.
Yes.
That we are multidimensional beings. So I'm getting excited just listening to what you're describing, because that brings up yet another phenomenon. And I agree with you. And that would mean that we're multidimensional in nature.
Yes.
That's what that would mean to me.
Yeah, that's what it means to me. And I'm, as I get older, I'm looking at other things that happened to me. And again, the things that are suggested by the experiences give us a totally different picture of what reality is all about.
No question. Absolutely. And I think we're just scratching the surface when it comes to the nature of reality as we know it. But, you know, we've only been living in the third, those of us, we've been taught since children that what we see is what is. But now I think we know that what we see is not only what is. There are other things here that need to be explored and understood.
Yeah, definitely. And it's worth exploring. And again, life ends eventually for us, and we seem to forget again, except for whatever we like program ourselves to retain from life to life. I've been doing that a lot lately. I've been just telling myself to remember certain things, because in this life, I remembered certain things. I resonated with certain people. There were certain things that I felt were supposed to happen, and they happened. It was like I knew about these things. So I don't consider myself psychic, you know, in any normal sense. But I believe that we have a preview of the life that we live, and we could remind ourselves certain things if we do it consistently. So I've been trying to do it for my next life, to remember that there's some things I know from the beginning, just trust them. Don't spend 20, 30 years getting back to, I've always had a passion for this. I've always wanted to do it. Why didn't I do it earlier? You know, that type of thing. And so I'm reminding myself, just do this. You know you like this. You know it's your passion. If you know it at 11, good. That's an opportunity to just run with it. You know, don't worry about the other stuff.
Well, you know, something, I agree with you, and I think it's that there's something there. I don't consider myself a powerful psychic, but I can say that my intuition at times has been extremely powerful. And, yes, I sense that something will happen. And if I sense it that strongly, I say 70% of the time in my life, these events or, you know, did come to pass in one way or another. So I think, again, I think we're going back to two, which we're going to explore. Hopefully we have a little time to do it tonight, if not tonight in the future, the life force, because this all goes back to the laws of manifestation.
Yes.
The laws of attraction and the energy we put out. What is the truth? You know, we've heard so much about it. Does it really exist? Can it really work for us? If so, How do we do it? Is there a technique? Is there a deity involved? And I've done a lot of research on these various issues because I want to get to some of the truths, because I want the law
right.
of manifestation. If it exists, I want it to work for all of us. I want us to be able to create our reality in a good way, in a way that's not going to help us, but assist others that we care about and whatever our goals might be in terms of assisting others in their lives. I want to know the truth about the laws of manifestation and books like The Secret and all. That's fine, whoever's been helped by it, but that book for me only scratched the surface and was
right.
very general in its description. So there's a lot more to it. There are many masters in the past who really had some superb teaching techniques that they shared in their lives. And I think that, in future programs, I'm hoping to dive into some of this.
Yeah, that's an interesting adventure, and we're moving in that direction as well. So it'll be time to talk about today. We have 12 more minutes. So if you want to introduce it a little bit more, we can do that and then lead it into a separate show later on.
Well, what I did want to do tonight, because I would like this to be a mainstay in each and every program, I have some of the latest research from the Life Extension Foundation in terms of nutritional therapy. I would like to share some of that because it may be beneficial to someone out there. These are brand new studies.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
I'd like
that'd
to
be
start,
awesome.
Thank you. And I'd like to start with a study that headlines nutrients most likely to benefit cardiovascular health. A systemic review and meta-analysis identified three supplements, coenzyme Q10, B vitamin, folic acid, and omega-3 fatty acids, as showing the greatest potential to lower cardiovascular disease risk, according to an article in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. Researchers reviewed 884 clinical trials that evaluated the association between 27 supplements and cardiovascular risk. Among all the supplements outcome examined, CoQ10 was associated with a reduction in mortality from all causes during the study's follow-up periods. Folic acid was linked to a lower risk of stroke, and omega-3 fatty acids were associated with a decreased risk of heart attack, coronary heart disease events, and cardiovascular disease mortality. Other nutrients were also associated with a reduction in cardiovascular disease risk, though not as great as these top three supplements. It's a brand new study, and I think it's worth thinking about. That's brand new from the American Journal of Cardiology. The next in line is higher intake of omega-3 fatty acids, lower diabetic mortality risk. My lighting is bad. My lighting is flickering, so let me continue with this. I hope everyone can hear me. People with diabetes who had a higher intake of the omega-3 fatty acids at a lower risk of all causes of mortality compared to diabetics whose intake was lower. A study published in the Journal of Diabetics revealed. The clinical study included 4,854 diabetic participants in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, 1999 to 2014. Mortality data were obtained through 2018. During follow-up, 1,102 deaths occurred. People whose intake of omega-3 fatty acids was among the highest 20% of participants at more than 122 milligrams a day had a 25% lower risk of mortality from any cause related to diabetes compared to those whose intake of fatty acids was lower. When the risk of all-cause mortality associated with omega-3s were analyzed separately, greater DHEA and EPA intake emerged as significantly associated with the lower mortality risk. I hope you're hearing me.
I am hearing you. You're coming across loud and clear.
Okay, very good. I don't know how much time we have, but I have another study that's very interesting. Curcumin. This is brand new.
8 minutes.
All right. Curcumin shows benefits for people with metabolic dysfunction associated with fatty liver disease. Curcumin supplementation has been beneficial effects in people with metabolic dysfunction associated with fatty liver disease. An updated meta-analysis shows researchers studied 16 randomized controlled clinical trials and 6 systemic reviews and meta-analysis that compared the effects of curcumin extracts or turmeric to a placebo. Curcumin supplementation was associated with significantly improved liver enzymes, AST and ALT, which are the most revealing enzymes that are elevated in liver disease. The association was dramatic and very, very strong. There was also a resolution and improvement of hepatic stenosis observed in the groups that received the curcumin as compared to a placebo. This is all research gathered by the Life Extension Foundation. And I'm certainly excited because I'm hoping this to be a mainstay of the Bold Spirits program each and every second Monday, because this is research that you'll probably nowhere else. So I'd like to make this a mainstay of the program.
That would be incredibly awesome. I take COQ10, not daily, but several times a week. I take curcumin, which is from turmeric, I believe,
yes.
Several times a week. The B vitamins I take in complex form, you know, where it's a little bit of all the B vitamins. The omega-3s I take in the form of fish oil caplets.
Yes, that seems to be what's most effective, more so than flax oil.
So, yeah, that's very helpful information, and
yes.
I'm going to continue experimenting with that because the latest research supports it. So let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. We have time for one more study.
Yes, we do.
All right. One more brand new study. Higher brain levels of vitamin D link to better cognitive function. Researchers' findings published in Alzheimer's Dementia showed that higher brain concentrations of vitamin D were associated with better cognition. The cognitive function of 200 participants in the Rush Memory and Aging Project was assessed during the clinical study, and the individual's brain tissues were examined after their death. Researchers found a 30 to 60% lower risk of mild cognitive impairment or dementia at the last visit before death among participants who had higher levels of vitamin D3 levels in the four regions of the brain studied. So vitamin D may also play a critical role in dementia. I want to conclude our nutritional research portion of our program by saying that I have read several other studies that indicate that CoQ10 may very well be a major player down the road in terms of slowing the onset of Alzheimer's and dementia, and I hope to share some of those studies in some of our future get-togethers.
That'd be great.
So that's our research for tonight, and I'm excited about having the ability to share these studies with the listeners because, again, only through the Life Extension Foundation will you receive these studies, and I'm thrilled to be able to share them with the audience.
And thank you for doing so. Again, people have busy lives, and often their nutrition is not prioritized in terms of things they look for. So it's great that you're doing it, and it's great that you're sharing it.
Well, they can pick up the ball, as they say, and then they can run with it. Something in these studies may light a fire in someone who may be dealing with some of these challenges, heart disease, diabetes, and they may decide we're going to move further on this and maybe add this and this and that to my program.
That will be fantastic. We have a couple of minutes left, 3 minutes. Are there any last words you'd like to leave with people about anything that you've touched upon today?
No, I'm sorry that we didn't get to do our energy level of our program, but we did touch upon it a little bit, and I hope to get more deeper into it next time we talk. I have a prayer system that I'm very excited about. Anyone with a prayer request, I use a white light prayer system. Please write to me at Michael Del Russi, Post Office Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. I will pray for your specific needs, and I will write you back.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael, for doing so. Thank you for being who you are, and thank you for being a companion on this jaunt through mystical and metaphysical realms. And thank you for being my friend.
Thank you as well, sir. I appreciate your presence in my life very, very, very much.
I look forward to speaking to you again. I have some books for you, so I'm going to contact you to get your address so I can mail them to you. And
okay. I still have a Conan collection that I want you to have.
Oh, thank you.
We will get to it.
They started writing Conan again. The three new books came out on Conan the past few
really?
Months. Really? Yeah, they've stopped for quite a while.
Are these regular books or are they graphic novels?
No, books, regular books.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'll be looking forward to seeing what they're all about.
Have a wonderful evening. I hope that the lights go back on in your section of Jersey, and I'll give you a call in a few days.
Thank you, Hercules. Thank you so much, and thank you to the listening audience.
And to our listening audience, thank you for joining us tonight. I know you learned a lot because I learned a lot, and I look forward to having you all come back soon. Joyous journeys and amazing adventures, everyone. Take care.
Good night, everyone.